This time I hit the button. I didn't use my star 9.
Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. So we are starting class number 9. And class number 9, we are covering verse number 29. Verse number 29 is the first verse that Brahma talks about in his Govindam prayers. Okay, so I will read the verse first, and then we'll do the word-to-word as usual. We'll go on. Chintamani prakara satma shukalpa vriksha lakshavateshu surabhira bipalayantam lakshmi sahasrashata sambhramasedhyamanam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Chintamani, touchstone, prakara, groups made of, sadmashu, in abodes, kalpa vriksha, of desire trees, laksha, by millions, avarteshu, surrounded, surabhihi, surabhi cows, abhipalyantam, tending, lakshmi, of goddess of fortune, sahasra, of thousands, shata, by hundreds, sambhrama, with great respect, savyamanam, being served, Govindam, Govinda, Adipurusham, the original person, Tam, him, aham, I, Bhajami, worship. Translation. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in the abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. Nice. Yeah, actually, the purport is very small, so we'll read the purport also, then we'll get into discussion. Purport. By the word Chintamani is meant transcendental gem. Just as Maya builds this mundane universe with the five material elements, so the spiritual chit potency has built the spiritual world of transcendental gems. The Chintamani, which serves as material in the building of the abode of the Supreme Lord of Goloka, is a far rarer and more agreeable entity than the philosopher's stone. The purpose tree yields only the fruits of piety, wealth, fulfillment of desire and liberation. But the purpose trees in the abode of Krishna bestow innumerable fruits in the shape of checkered divine love. Kamadhenus, cow yielding the fulfillment of desire, give milk when they are milked. But the Kamadhenu of Goloka pour forth oceans of milk in the shape of the fountain of love, showering transcendental bliss that does away with the hunger and thirst of all pure devotees. The words Laksha and Sahasrashata signify endless numbers. The word Sambhrama or Sadhara indicates being saturated with love. Here, Lakshmi denotes Gopi, Adipurusha it should be. It looks like it's a typo there. Adipurusha means he who is the primeval Lord. Such a beautiful purport. So, each and every word that is being spoken by Brahma is being elaborated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and he's telling us how the same things in the material world, they have a very different purpose. But when you see the same things in Goloka Vrindavan, they are totally different. They're just satisfying the devotees. And what do the devotees want? They want endless love for Krishna. So this endless love for Krishna is being satisfied again and again by so many ways. So let's, before we, we have to do a quick recap because we have to finish what we have done in part one. So I'll try to cover it as fast as possible because we should not forget part one before we enter part two. So I will do the entire part one quickly and then we'll get into today's class. Quick recap so far. Class number one, we did introduction. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu retrieved the Brahma Samhita from the Adi Keshava temple, and we saw a breakdown of the Brahma Samhita. Class number two were verses 1 and 2, which is Ishvara Paramakrishna, which is the Paribhasha Sutra of the Brahma Samhita. And we saw a general description about Goloka Vrindavan and how Goloka and Gokul of this Bhauma Vrindavan are the same. Class number three, we covered verses 3 and 4. We saw the transcendental residence of Radha Krishna, the central world. And then we discussed about the Yantra, the Shatkona Yantra, and Mantra, Gopal Gayatri, or we just call it the Gopal Mantra. And then we discussed about Prakata and Aprakata Leela and how one enters into the Aprakata Leela within the Gokul Vrindavan of this world, and how the petals in Goloka Vrindavan are the residents of the gopis and the other associates of Krishna. Class number 4, we discussed verses 5 and 6, how the Chaturvyuha are actually present in Goloka. Who are the Chaturvyuha? Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Shankarsana, Vasudeva. They are also present in Goloka Vrindavan. They are the Adi Chaturvyuha. Okay? So this Chaturvyuha is present in Goloka Vrindavan in the corners. And there are the four Vedas are present, and the Purusharthas are also present in the pure forms in Goloka Vrindavan. And there is a mysterious region of Shweta Dweep where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resides. They saw an introduction of the Lord's internal potency, who is known as Yogamaya, and how she has different forms and different services to please the Lord, as well as she is responsible to take us home back to Godhead. She's the one who recommends our name to Krishna, basically. Now, class number 5. We saw verses 7 and 6. So we discussed in detail about the Lord's external potency known as Maya. We saw that Mahavishnu is with his internal potency known as Ramadevi or Yoganitra, who is within him. And out of compassion for the living entities, Mahavishnu begins creation by the conjugal relationship he has with Yoganitra or Ramadevi. Then we saw how he glances on Maya indirectly. His glance has a dim halo that is known as Shambhu, and this Shambhu actually contacts Maya, that is Lord Shiva and Parvati, who are the mother and father of our universe. Then we saw Pradhan is like the cooked down soup of the Mahatattva, and Mahatattva is the separated elements, the different material elements we have discussed. We saw how the glance of Mahavishnu has two aspects to it. One power aspect is known as Mahavishnu, and the aspect that agitates the material elements is known as Advaita Acharya. Then we saw how Lord Vishnu, or rather Karano Dakshay Vishnu, or you can call him Mahavishnu, he is the original cause of creation, whereas Shambhu and Maya are the immediate cause, or rather that's what we are responsible for the further creation. But the desire of Mahavishnu is the original cause. Class number 6, we did verses 9 to 15. And we got into the details of creation. We discussed the male and female principle of creation, how Maya and Shambhu actually execute creation. Then we saw how the universes are like little golden sperms that emanate from the pores of the body of Mahavishnu when he exhales and enters into the accommodating chamber, which is the material world. And the elements that are there, they cover these seeds and they enlarge, these golden sperms enlarge, but still these elements are not cooperating. Then the different characters like Garbhodakshay Vishnu, who is an expansion of Mahavishnu, is created. Shiradakshay Vishnu comes from his left limb, and Brahma Prajapati is created from his right limb. So this was discussed. Then we saw how the elements of nature go and pray to Mahavishnu to help them combine. Class number 7. We covered verses 16 to 21. We saw that the false ego is a gift from Shambhu to us. However, the good side of it is that the internal energy is much more powerful, and with the mercy of the devotees performing devotional service, we can easily conquer this false ego and return back to the spiritual world. So we saw that the ingredients of matter were praying to Mahavishnu. And while they prayed to Mahavishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu entered the elements with his energy Kali and helped these materials to cooperate. They formed layers around the sperm and it started expanding and expanding, and they were floating like footballs for eons and eons. And then the Garbhodak Vishnu, he entered into the Garbhodak ocean, and from the sweat of his body, the Garbhodak ocean was created. And this Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he himself expanded as the original Virat Rupa, and Brahma got a blueprint of this Virat Rupa in his subtle body. The subtle body of the universal form was given to Brahma before he was born in the lotus. It was transferred to the subtle body of Brahma. Then the Lord actually in the blueprint, he teaches where each and every part of the universe will fit, and then he withdraws his original Virat Rupa. And then the karma and activity of the jivas who are resting inside the body of Garbhodakshay Vishnu of each and every universe is awakened. And we discuss the intrinsic nature of the jiva, how the jiva is dependent on the Lord, yet they are part and parcels of the Supreme Lord. Class number 8. This was the last class of part 1. So we discovered verses 22 to 28. We saw that Brahma emerged from the lotus and he was confused as to who he was. Saraswati Devi gave him the Gopala mantra. He chanted this for many, many years, and then he heard a beautiful sound, which was Krishna's flute. And once he heard the sound of Krishna's flute, automatically the Kama Gayatri came out of his mouth. And this was his second initiation. He was directly initiated by Krishna for the second time. And then when he made the statement, by the recollection of Kama Gayatri, it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna. Though the other mysteries in regard to the condition of the maidservant of Krishna were not revealed to him, then he begins to sing the Brahma Samhita prayers. And then, that's what we are going to discuss today. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati makes a statement. Readers are requested to study and try to enter the spirit of this Brahma Samhita prayers with great care and attention as a regular daily function. And the mantra starts from verse number 29, which we have already read today. And we sing these prayers during our Sringara Arati. So, or welcoming the deities, as we call it. Okay? So, we read verse number 29, beginning with Chintamani, Prakara, Sadmashu, Kalpavriksha. Correct? Yeah. Prakara, Sadmashu, Kalpavriksha. Okay. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saras, actually, you just look at the Sanskrit. It begins with Chintamani, Prakara, Sadmashu, Kalpavriksha, Lakshavrateshu, Surabhi, Abhithalayantam. But you look at the translation given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, how he translates this. He says, I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, the first progenitor who's tending cows, yielding all desire in the abode, built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees. So this is how he begins it. If you look at the verse, Sanskrit verse, it begins with the spiritual gems. It doesn't begin with Govinda who's tending cows. But rather, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in his translation, he has given more importance to this point. He begins with, I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, who's the first progenitor, who's tending cows. So that's how Govinda is introduced, or Krishna is introduced. That is the main function of Krishna, actually. He's the lover of cows. All this Chintamani and all takes a second stand, actually. At least in the rasa of Bhakti, how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati visualizes Krishna. Not only Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, but we have also seen how Brahma, even he had this fascination. In the very first verse, remember Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. The original cause of all causes is Krishna. But which Krishna? Govinda Krishna. Even Brahma has this realization and everyone has this fascination for the Govinda aspect of Krishna. That's what makes Krishna as Krishna. He is the Lord of the cows. That is his first, his favorite thing, being the Lord of cows. Then only he is the Lord of the Brahmanas or whoever it is. But first he is the Lord of the cows. So he loves the cows. Now, when Krishna was 3 years old, when he was a very, very small baby, 3 years old, he started walking, he was running, and he was a little boy, and he was very excited, he was born and raised in a Vaishya family. He was very excited because he saw that his family occupation was tending cows. So he was extremely excited. And when he was 3 years old, he went and told his parents that he was ready to herd the cows. Okay, but Mother Yashoda, she tried to stop him. I'm going to just merge, Mataji, hold on. Okay, so when Krishna was 3 years old, he was ready to herd the cows. And Mother Yashoda didn't like that because she didn't want Krishna to leave him and go. So she wanted to stop him. And then... she said, look, you can't herd cows. Cows are so big. How are you? You are so tiny. Where are you going to go and herd such big, big cows? So it's not possible. But Krishna was very adamant. So Nanda Maharaj told that you can try the calves first. So first you can start herding calves. Okay. So Krishna's first day came when he got the approval from his parents to herd calves. And when Krishna was ready for his first day, there was a joyous occasion. And he was taking up his family dharma of herding cows, so he was very, very happy. And everybody gave him beautiful, beautiful gifts. Some people gave him buffalo horns, he was given ropes, he was given his first flute. He was given all kinds of things as a gift for starting his occupation. And Yashoda wanted to give him nice ethnic shoes. She wanted to give him shoes because Krishna is going on the, he's going to go on the roads. He's going to walk on the dust and thorns. So Yashoda felt, oh, my child needs protection. So she wanted to give him beautiful shoes. And she also wanted to give him a colorful, bright umbrella with lots of gems and a servant to hold this umbrella so that Krishna was protected from the sun and rain. Okay? So when these gifts were given to Krishna by Mother Yashoda, Krishna said he won't accept it. He said, I won't accept all these gifts. I will accept it only if you give me 4 shoes for each and every calf and each servant with an umbrella. For each calf, I need a separate servant with umbrella, and for all the calves, I need 4 pairs of shoes. So, you know, Krishna had so many calves. So he wanted 4 shoes, 2 pairs of shoes for each calf, and he wanted for each calf a servant with an umbrella. And then Yashoda said, look, they are animals. They don't need all this. And at that time, Krishna spoke this famous word, dharmo rakshati rakshataha. He who protects dharma is protected by it. It is a self-sustaining process. If you uphold the principles of dharma, that will uphold you. The cows are our dharma. We are Vaishyas. We have to herd cows. That is our dharma. Varnashrama dharma is actually to herd cows. How will I take anything better for myself that is not given to these cows? So that was his argument. And then he said, I won't take these gifts. But the rest of the gifts he accepted. So like that, he took the calves for herding. So this is the love Krishna had for his cows and calves. He had a lot of love. Then we know, like later how he got to herd cows after Gopashtami. There is this pastime of Krishna herding cows later. So this is how it is. Now, the cows of Krishna are all Surabhi cows, and they can give oceans and oceans of milk. And not just milk, they can practically give anything because they are from the spiritual world. Because in the Goloka Vrindavan, everything is spiritual. So cow need not give just milk, it will give anything you ask the cow. So like that, these are all wish-fulfilling cows. Now, something, a little details about the cows. Nanda Maharaj, he had 900,000 cows. And Vishwanath Chakravarti, he gives this description of the cows of Vrindavan. Krishna used to call each and every cow by name. And if any cow was missing, Krishna would immediately chase after the missing cow and call her by name and bring her back. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he writes, Krishna would climb on the Vamshiva tree and he would play the flute, and in that process he would call all his cows who had gone for herding when he is returning home back home. Now, Krishna's cows, this is interesting. We don't have to remember all these details, but we can hear about the transcendental cows, how they are. So we don't have to remember everything, though, but I'll just share a few interesting facts about these cows. The cows were divided into herds by color. So there were 4 groups, 4 colored cows, 4 groups of cows. One set was black cows, the other set was white cows, then he had reddish cows and he had yellowish cows. Okay, in each color set, that is you have 4 groups, okay, in each group was further 25 divisions were there, 25 divisions within each color group. So that made a total of 100 herds, not 100 cows, 100 groups, 100 herds. So there were also 8 herds of cows that were spotted or speckled or had heads shaped like a mridanga or that had tilak marks on their foreheads. They were a total of 108 different herds of cows. Each of the 108 had a herd leader. So each cow herd group had a herd leader. Krishna had a leader for everyone. So to count these 108 groups of cows, distinguished by color and form, Krishna uses his japamala. What do we use our japamala for? We use it for chanting Krishna's name. But look at Krishna. He uses his japamala to count the number of cows in his herd. And what is his japamala? It's the pearl necklace that Krishna wears on his neck. So when Krishna calls out by color, he calls a Davali. That means it's the name of a white cow. The whole group of white cows come forward. And when Krishna calls Hamsi, Chandani, Ganga, Mukta, and so on, the 24 other groups of white cows come. Okay, so that's how. Once he calls the leader, the whole group will come. Then talk about the reddish cows. They are called as Aruni, Kumkuma, Saraswati, etc. These are these sets. Aruni, Kuma, Saraswati, like that. He's got names for each set. For the blackish ones, he has the names Shyamala, Dhumala, Yamuna, etc. And the yellowish ones are Pita, Tingala, Hiratakki, etc. Haritaki, etc. And all these classifications of these cows, see, Krishna, I mean, like one might ask, why do you want to worry about cows now? But these are Krishna's cows, so they're important. So, of course, we don't have to remember, but still we can relish Krishna's pastime by enjoying what all Krishna does and see how much love he has for the cows. So all this is described in Vishwanath Chakravarti's Bhagavatam Purport, Canto 10, verse 35, sorry, chapter 35, verse 19, Purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Then, the cows that are classified by mark. So in these groups, the tilaka marks on their forehead, they are called Chitrita, Chitra, Tilaka, Dhirga Tilaka, and Fiat Tilaka. The groups and the other groups are known as, classified by the shape of their head, are known as Mridanga Mukhi, Simha Mukhi, and so on. So, for, to call these cows, Krishna sits on top of a tree and he plays the flute to keep a check on the number of all these cows herding with him. He uses his pearl necklace. And before returning home, he calls each and every cow by their name. But as he says the name, he uses the sound of his flute, actually, to call out to these cows. He calls each one of them by playing his flute. Okay, by hearing the flute sound in each pitch, when the flute sound is played, the particular name of the cow is heard. Like, for example, if he plays a particular pitch on a flute, Chandrika is heard, Dhavali is heard, Yavali is heard. Like that, the names of the cows are heard. And if he's calling out the Chandrika cow, only Chandrika cow is able to hear her name, though through the sound of Krishna's flute. The other cows don't understand. Okay, so if Krishna is playing the flute, there's a particular pitch in which he's playing the flute, calling out to Chandrika, only Chandrika is hearing her name. And then she gets very delighted to hear her name being called, and she comes running to Krishna. So like this, he calls all the cows by their name with the help of his flute, and no cow is left behind. All of them come and assemble near Krishna with their group leaders. So those are how Krishna maintains all the cows. And each and every cow in Vrindavan is a wish-fulfilling cow. So these are about the cows. Now, I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, who is the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desire. Next part of the verse is, in abodes built with spiritual gems surrounded by millions of purpose trees. So first we will see about spiritual gems. Interestingly, in the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Goloka Vrindavan itself, the sand, the dust, the rocks, everything is Chintamani. And this Chintamani is very different from the touchstone of this material world. So let's see how it is different. Chintamani. First, let's see how they use it in Goloka Vrindavan. This Chintamani, they are just like found, like, you know, how you see rocks on the road. Like in our material world also, we have so many stones and rocks and dust. Like that, in Goloka Vrindavan, everything is Chintamani. And the gopis, they use it to make their anklets. They use it to as a toe support on their slippers. Like you've seen these sannyasi shoes and wooden shoes of those days, right? So they have a feet-shaped plank, and on top of that, between the big toe and the rest of the fingers, there is a separator, one small separator. So for that separator, these gopis, they use Chintamani jewels to separate the toe and the rest of the fingers. That's how they use them. They use it as slippers, basically, support for slippers. And then not only that, Vrindavan Vasis use Chintamani as a door stopper to keep the door open so that they can see Krishna coming inside the city or inside the village. When he has gone for herding cows, so when it's evening, all the gopis are so excited to see Krishna. So everyone keeps the door open, and as a door stopper, they keep big Chintamanis. Huge Chintamanis are kept. So there is actually a pastime of in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Hera Panchami. So Hera Panchami is a festival that is celebrated in Jagannath Puri that happens after the Rath Yatra. After the Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath, he goes to the Gundicha temple, which is equivalent to Vrindavan. So basically, Jagannath, he leaves his Dwaraka area, which is actually the Jagannathpuri temple, which is somewhat equated to Dwaraka because the mood is like Dwaraka mood. From there, during Rath Yatra, he actually goes to Gundicha temple, which is like Vrindavan for him. Okay, so he leaves his goddess of fortune and he goes to live in Vrindavan. So when he leaves his Jagannath temple, which is like Dwaraka, the goddess of fortune, she becomes so upset that the Lord leaves her association and he goes to enjoy with the gopis. So because she's so upset, there's a festival that is celebrated called as Hera Panchami. What the festival is that this goddess of fortune, she comes in a beautiful palanquin to attack Jagannath and his servants. So goddess of fortune is carried in a lovely palanquin bedecked with beautiful jewels. Very rare and very costly jewels are all bedecked on the palanquin. And the goddess of fortune, because she's goddess of fortune, she's the owner of all those jewels. So she sits on that and with a lot of pride, she comes to attack Lord Jagannath because he has left her and he's gone to some other ladies, to the gopis basically. So she comes with her servants. All her lady servants are assisting her and they all reach Gundicha Mandir in a procession and they go, all the lady servants are attacking the male servants of Lord Jagannath. All the men are being hit by sticks and everyone is being attacked. So Goddess Lakshmi, she shows her power that she is the wife of the Lord and she exercises her position as the goddess of fortune. She becomes very, very angry and in that mood, you know, the sticks, they are actually attacking the entire Gundicha temple and the servants are all beaten up. And then the servants are arrested by the servants of Lord Goddess Lakshmi. And then she chastises Lord Jagannath. She screams at Lord Jagannath and she chastises him, saying that you're so bad, you left me and you went somewhere else and all that. So at that time, Jagannath's servants, they promise, they surrender to these ladies and they promise that they will bring back Jagannath the very next day, but they don't keep up their promise and Jagannath comes back maybe after the 8th day or something. I don't know the exact number of days of Rath Yatra, but he comes back much later. So that's how the celebration is. So this is called as the Hera Panchami festival. Goddess of Fortune being angry with Lord Jagannath and she and her servants are attacking the Gundicha Mandir because Lord Jagannath has left her company. Okay. Now, when this festival was going on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivas Thakur, all of them, Swarup Damodar, all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were standing there and they were watching. So when thing was happening, Srivas Thakur, he got very excited. So Srivas Thakur, as we all know, he's Narada. Okay? Narada is always in the mood of worship of Lakshmi Narayan. That's the mood of Narada, generally. He always says Narayana, Narayana, right? So his actual mood is the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. So when he sees his worshipable goddess of fortune has defeated all the servants of Lord Jagannath, who's gone in his Vrindavan mood, he thought this is awesome. So he said, you are all Vrindavan inhabitants. What is your opulence? Maybe few leaves, few twigs, flowers, some churned yogurt. But here, here you see Lakshmi. She's sitting on the throne. And you know, and she's so great. And she's able to easily defeat all your Jagannath servants. That is the glory of my Lakshmi. So like that, Narada, he becomes very excited seeing Lakshmi defeating everybody. And he talks about Vrindavan, saying that, oh, to Vrindavan, look at my Vaikuntha. So, and look at my goddess of fortune. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he starts laughing. And he's like, okay, you're talking a lot. So he looks at Swarup Damodar to give a counter. So at that time, Swarup Damodar, we know Swarup Damodar is actually, in some places she's Lalita and some places she's Vishakha. So take her to be one of these two sakis, okay? In many places, she's actually Lalita. In some places, she's mentioned as Vishakha. There are different scriptures. I mean, like Gargana, basically, Deepika gives one view. Another, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives a different view. So there is a little difference, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. So basically, she's one of the chief of the Ashtasakhis. She's the leader of the Ashtasakhis. Okay, she, because it's Swarup Damodar here. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at Swarup Damodar and says, okay, it's time for you to talk about Vrindavan. Then, at that time, Swarup Damodar, he paraphrases this verse 29 of Brahma Samhita. He paraphrases this verse about how everything is Chintamani in Goloka Vrindavan. What are you talking about jewels? But in, you know, you're talking about some jewels studded on a palanquin, blah, blah. Look at my Goloka Vrindavan. Everything is Chintamani. Even the dust the people walk on, they walk on Chintamani. They use it as door stoppers. They use it on their feet. So you're talking about the opulence of Vrindavan here or what? So like that, he starts arguing with Srivas Thakur. And he says, all the trees are wish-fulfilling trees. They're all Kalpa Vrikshas. So, you know, don't talk about Goloka Vrindavan if you don't know anything about it. Something like that. They're just having a fun argument. And then he defeats Srivas Pandit. When Srivas Pandit is defeated, when Narada is defeated by Lalita Sakhi / Vishaka Sakhi, keep whatever you want. So when Srivas Thakur is defeated like this, he feels ecstasy because he is also a devotee of Lord Krishna at the same time. It is Srivas Thakur. He is a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, his Narayana mood came up. Narayana worship mood showed up, but still he is Srivas Thakur, right? He is also a resident of Goloka Vrindavan as an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he felt ecstasy in being defeated and he started jumping and he claps and he laughs, clapping his arms. So there's a very nice pastime where Swarup Damodar actually quotes verse number 29 and also verse number 56 in a different way, paraphrased. It's not the exact verse that he quotes, but the content is the same from Brahma Samhita about everything being Chintamani in Goloka Vrindavan. Okay? Now we have to see some interesting quotes which I want to present because all the Maharajas have presented these quotes, so I thought it is important for us to hear these. Just for nectar, we can hear these. Shri Vrajareeti Chintamani, written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it talks about the dust of Vraja. So let's see what he has to say about the dust of Vraja. In some places, the ground of Vraja is made of camphor dust. In some places, it is saffron. In some places, it is made of ground musk. And in some places, it is made of aromatic substances used in religious ceremonies. In some places, the ground of Vraja is made of emeralds. In other places, it is made of a variety of precious gems. In some places, of the fresh grasses of Vraja, which are eaten by the cows and other animals, in some places, there are emeralds studded. So this is how Goloka Vrindavan is. In some places, the ground of Vraja is like a golden Jambu river. In other places, it is made of sapphires. Although all the trees in Vrindavan are Kalpa Vriksha trees, Wait. Let's not go to Kalpa Vriksha. Okay, we'll go to Kalpa Vriksha. Although all the trees in Vrindavan are Kalpa Vriksha trees, still there is one among them which is especially glorious. That tree is the source of all the Kalpa Vrikshas, and because of this tree, the rest of the trees in her association, they become Kalpa Vriksha trees. So, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that this particular tree grows next to a jeweled palace in a supremely charming grove. It appears to be the Kalpa Vriksha that we see on the center of the world in Goloka Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna are residing. It appears to be that, but I don't want to give a committal word, but still it appears to be that. Because of that one Kalpa Vriksha tree, which is present at the rest of the trees that grow in Goloka Vrindavan and also in Bhauma Vrindavan, all the trees are Kalpa Vriksha trees. That's why when you go on Vraja Parikrama, when you go to Vrindavan, everybody recommends that you go and pray to these trees, not for material desires, but for spiritual desires. And immediately, because they are Kalpa Vriksha trees, they will satisfy you. Immediately, they will give result. So that is the power of Kalpa Vriksha trees. Especially when you go to Vrindavan, pray to the trees. They are very, very merciful. The trees will grant your spiritual desires. So, Prabodhananda Saraswati, who wrote Vrindavan Mahimamrita, he says, for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, the regal trees in Vrindavan forest assume many different forms. Some assume forms of the sweetest nectar, others take the form of splendid transcendental milk and cream, other forms of intoxicating liquors, other forms of crystal, and other forms of very cooling camphor. May Vrindavan, where following Sri Sri Radha Krishna joking order, the fortunate regal trees bow down to offer respects, resting their branches on the ground, then become charming, flower-filled, many branches pavilion, and then from where the hand can grasp up to the lovely tops, bloom with many flowers and show auspiciousness to me. May Vrindavan forest, where some of the trees are more splendid than millions of blazing midday suns, some are more brilliant than millions of Kalpagni fires burning at the time of cosmic dissolution, some more charming than a great flood of splendid cooling moonlight, some more splendid than red gunja berries, some more clear and splendid than millions of brilliant crystals, some charmingly decorated with splendid new shoes, some splendid as a limitless flood of molten gold, some splendid as diamond necklaces, some splendid as flocks of parrots, some splendid as black mascara, and some splendid as roses, and where in this way the eternal, blissful, nectarian, spiritual form of the many regal, wonderful, flower-filled trees display a great array of many different splendid and indescribable transcendental colors be eternally manifest before me. This is all a description of Goloka Vrindavan for you to hear. Desire trees, any fruit, any variety, any time, anything you want is available in Vrindavan. Actually, there's a Kalpavriksha tree, a special Kalpavriksha tree, especially for us, because we are followers of Srila Prabhupada, that is there in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. In the center of the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, you can see a tree. Okay, so actually, when the Krishna Balaram Mandir was built, they wanted to cut down the tree because it was somewhat in the center of the courtyard. It's like, you know, obstructing the pathways and all that. So everyone, they wanted to cut the tree. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada said, don't cut the tree. It's a very special tree. It's a desire tree. So don't cut the tree at all. So even to this day, this tree is worshipped. Not only this tree, there are so many trees that are worshipped. Actually, every tree is worshipped in Vrindavan. So each and every tree is worshipped in Vrindavan. I think in Radha Damodar temple or something, there is one tree where everyone goes and embraces. So like that, this tree in our Krishna Balaram temple is actually a tamal tree, black tree. Tamal trees are exactly like Krishna. The gopis, when they would feel separation from Krishna, they would go and embrace the tamal tree because it is blackish. So they would feel like they're embracing Krishna in their separation. So the tamal tree is very special. So Prabhupada said not to chop this tree. Okay, and desire tree. When we say we go to Vrindavan and we say desire tree, it means devotees, they have desire only for Krishna. They have only desire for Krishna. They don't have these material desires. Though, see, they saw in Goloka Vrindavan, Chintamani can yield anything. Wish fulfilling, everything is wish fulfilling. But still, are the devotees using it to produce all that? Are they using it to produce wealth or all that? No, they don't use it for that. They only use it like, you know, how you would use an ordinary stone. Because all that their heart wants is Krishna. They don't want these material things. So that is the beauty of Vrindavan. Everything is available, but nobody cares for it because they are just saturated with love for Krishna and they feel satisfied with that. So why would they care for all this? That's like that. So that's how Goloka Vrindavan is, and that's how Dhamma Vrindavan is also. Especially when we go to Vrindavan, we must have, we see Vrindavan through our ears, not with our eyes. Because when we go and see the material things around us, we think, oh, is this all so much dust, or gulakats and honking sound beggars and, so much dirty Yamunas flowing? Is this what they are glorifying? Is this what Bhagavatam talks about? Oh, it's so beautiful, it's so glorious. We start making offenses. We don't see Vrindavan the way it should be seen. That's why it's always said, we see Vrindavan through our ears. We hear about Vrindavan, understand the glories of Vrindavan, and then we make a visit to Vrindavan, then we can appreciate the beauty of Vrindavan. It's very beautiful. If we have the right consciousness, we can appreciate Vrindavan. Now, so this was about the Kalpavriksha trees, right? So so far in that verse, we saw about the cows, we saw about spiritual gems, then we saw about purpose trees. And the last part of the verse is, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. So the gopis, we know that so many gopis are there in Vrindavan. When Krishna did his Rasa dance, there were so many gopis. For each gopi, there was a Krishna who manifested and danced with the gopi. So like that, hundreds and thousands of gopis are there in Vrindavan, and they are all serving Krishna. Similarly, in Dwaraka, we have more than 16,108 queens. And then we have so many other devotees. So like that, this Goloka Vrindavan is surrounded by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis. And of course, about the gopis, we will discuss in detail in the later verses, because that part is reserved for those verses where this topic again comes. So I think I'll not elaborate more on the gopis. But that's what it is. We know that he's constantly served by such beautiful Lakshmis, thousands of Lakshmis. So Brahma, he is having this realization. And we should understand that, of course, we saw in the previous verses that Brahma also had material desire because he wanted to create. But we should not make the offense of thinking that Brahma is also like us. No. Brahma is a very special person. He is not ordinary. Of course, he has to create, etc. And the law, because the Lord is asking him to do so, and also it is duty to create. But still, look at Brahma. He's having such a great realization. He's having such a great revelation. And by his mercy, we are able to hear about Goloka Vrindavan, Bhauma Vrindavan, and appreciate it in the appreciate the verses of Brahma Samhita. So I'll stop here. If there are any comments, additions, corrections, questions, go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti, Dhanvar Pranam.
Sujata Mataji.
Yeah, such a nice description of the Goloka. I just had a very basic question. There are two types of cows, is it? Like Kamadhenu and Surabhi, are they same or are they different?
Same. And that's how the Maharajas sounded, all of them. They said it's the same because in one seminar, Rumpad Maharaj was talking about Kamadhenu, about how Jamadagni had Kamadhenu and Kartavirya Arjuna went to get it. It's the same. See, that Kamadhenu is going to yield tons and tons of milk, and also it yielded food, right, when the Brahmanas were hungry. But this in the spiritual world, these Surabhi cows, each and every cow is a Kamadhenu cow, and not only milk, it can simply yield anything. But the Brajvasis, they are so pure-hearted, they are not, many, most of them, they won't care for it. In the sense, they are saturated with love for Krishna. Of course, if you go and ask milk to make sweet for Krishna, the Kamadhenus are going to give. No doubt. But they are not attached to the idea that this Kamadhenu is giving me this milk or this food or whatever. It's like that. Okay? Yeah, they are the same, Mataji.
And also, I have another question. The tree you said in the Krishna Balaram temple is the tamal tree, right? Black tamal tree?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm.
Yeah, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was telling that when they were constructing the temple and many people were talking that they are going to cut down the tree, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was thinking in his mind, because his name is Tamal Krishna, he should make his Japamala from the Tamal tree. But then Prabhupada said, nothing doing, we are not cutting it. So it never happened that he made his Japamala from that tree.
Thank you, Preeti. I may have to log off now.
Sure. Thank you for joining, Sujata Mataji. I'll go.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol. I just wanted to, as you were talking about the trees of Vrindavan, it reminded me of this verse in the, Light of the Bhagavata. Talks about, it speaks about the tree. So I wanted to read this one verse and a little bit of the purport.
Yes.
It's very,
yes,
very nice. Yes. So it's verse number 24. It says, when the Lord entered the forest of Vrindavana, all the inhabitants of the forest, both animate and inanimate, were eager to receive him. He saw that the flowers of the forest, all fully blossoming, were weeping in ecstasy, honey flowing down their petals. Mm-hmm. The waterfalls on the hilly rocks were gladly flowing, and one could hear sweet sounds from the caves nearby. The Lord and his multifarious energies, and therefore the Lord and his energies are, the Lord has multifarious energies, and therefore the Lord and his energies are identical. Among his various energies, the material energy is one, and it is said that the Bhagavad Gita, that the material energy is inferior and faulty to the spiritual energy. Spiritual energy is superior because without contact with the spiritual energy, the material energy alone cannot produce anything. Then it says, let's skip a little bit down, has, in the spiritual world, everything is spirit. We have already discussed this. The personality of Godhead, the original source of all energy, is able to convert spirit into matter and matter into spirit. For him, there is no difference between matter and spirit. He is therefore called Kaivalya. In Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental pastimes, he reciprocates with spirit. When he is in the mortal world, the material qualities cannot work upon him. Because everything is therefore matter and spirit by the grace of the Almighty, although there is a difference between matter and spirit for the ordinary living being. Flowers, waterfalls, trees, fruits, hills, caves, birds, beasts, and human beings are nothing but combinations of God's energy. Therefore, when the personality of God had appeared before them, they all became spiritually inclined, and by natural affection, they wanted to serve the Almighty in various capacities. So,
beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, everything is spiritual. Everything is animated in the spiritual world. Everybody is there to serve Krishna. Krishna, so nice, Mataji. Thank you for reading that. That's so beautiful, actually. So nice. Thanks.
Thank you.
I thought that just was so appropriately fitting when you were describing that. And especially, I was noticing also in that verse that verse 29, it says, I've got to go back to it, but let me look it for it really quick. Where is it? When it talks about the Chintamani, it said the entity, that entity.
Oh.
I don't know if you, let me just find it.
Cool.
It says in the purport, it says, the Chintamani which serves the material in the building of the abode of the Supreme Lord of Goloka is far rarer and more agreeable entity than the Philosopher's Stone.
Thank you for reminding me, because I missed one part which I have to say. I don't have any notes for it being, of course it is an entity since everything is alive in the spiritual world, but I just missed one paragraph that I wanted to say about Chintamani. So in Goloka Vrindavan, the ground is Chintamani gem and yields all desire. In common terms, we use the name touchstone to mean that which turns iron into gold. In this world, when we say philosopher's stone or touchstone, we mean about a stone that when it that is used to convert iron into gold. So there is this method of doing it that Maharaj was explaining, that they drink, these yogis, they practice very heavy austerities, and they drink mercury, and they're able to hold it in their body, and they sleep it out overnight, and then the next day morning they urinate, and when they urinate from their body, the liquid that comes out, it actually converts iron into gold. So in the material world, it is possible for certain yogis who have gone through certain practices. But anyhow, a touchstone is used to, when it touches other iron pieces, that also becomes stone. So that's how it is used in this material world, also known as philosopher's stone. But in the spiritual world, it is Chintamani. It just gets everything. And also I wanted to say the story of Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, he found a touchstone. It's a kind that when it touches iron, it converts into gold. And Sanatan Goswami had actually thrown this material touchstone that is there in this world into a garbage. And once a Shaivite, he heard about this, that Sanatan Goswami had a touchstone, but he simply thrown it somewhere. So he went to Sanatan Goswami to ask him and get the touchstone, because he wanted the touchstone, because it can practically give you so much gold. So he was very excited to get the touchstone. So he went and asked Sanatan Goswami. At that time, Sanatan Goswami, he showed him a rubbish heap, a garbage heap. And, he said, oh, I've thrown it there. You can go pick it up, like that. So this Shaivite was like very happy, because Sanatan Goswami had simply thrown it and he don't care for it. So he picked up the touchstone and he went home and he touched everything, and everything became gold. So, and then once he was doing this, he was very, very happy for a while. Then he started thinking. He thought, why is the Sanatan Goswami keeping this touchstone in a rubbish heap? That means he has something more valuable with him. So maybe he has something more valuable than this touchstone. So I must have it. So he thought like that, and then he went to Sanatan Goswami and he asked, what is it that you have? That you have simply given away this death stone. And that's when Sanatan Goswami tells him, if you give up this death stone, if you give it up, I can give you what I have, which is much, much, much more valuable than this death stone. And then he gives him the Hare Krishna Ma mantra. And later this person becomes a devotee. So, sorry, Mataji, I had written it down, but I forgot to talk about it. And also the dust, like Akura, he glorifies the dust so much of Vrindavan in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And generally you'll see how much reverence people have when they visit Vrindavan. They roll on the dust, they do Dandavat Parikrama, so that the dust is all over you because this dust is Chintamani. They can give us spiritual love, they can give us love for Krishna. So that's the glory. Even when people go to Vrindavan, when someone is asked, what do you want from Vrindavan? Usually they say, just get me some dust, because the dust is so powerful. Yeah, Mataji, please. Did you want to add anything else? Panishri Mataji, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
One other thing I wanted to add. I said that Chintamani entity that says everything has life. And then about the Lakshmi, in the Bhagavad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, in the Chapter 15, when it's a description of the kingdom of God, there's also that a little bit of, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about this particular verse of the Brahma Samhita. And he says that the translation, if I have time, I'll read. Do you mind if I read
Go
it?
Ahead,
The translation reads, the ladies in the Vaikuntha planets are as beautiful as the goddess of fortune herself. Such transcendently beautiful ladies, their hands playing with lotuses, and their leg bangles tingling, are sometimes seen sweeping the marble walls, which are bedecked at intervals with golden borders, in order to receive the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The purport. Prabhupada writes, in the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Supreme Lord Govinda is always served in his abode by many, many millions of goddesses of fortune. Lakshmi Sahasrasata Sambrahmasevyamanam. These millions and trillions of goddesses of fortune who reside in the Vaikuntha planet are not exactly consorts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but are the wives of the devotees of the Lord and also engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is stated here that in the Vaikuntha planet, the houses are made of marble. Similarly, in the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the ground on the Vaikuntha planet is made of touchstone. There is no need to sweep the stone in Vaikuntha, for there is hardly any dust on it. But still, in order to satisfy the Lord, the ladies there are always eager, always engaged in dusting the marble walls. Why? The reason is that they are eager to achieve the grace of the Lord by doing so.
Beautiful.
I just wanted to also read that little bit about the goddess of fortune.
Yeah, beautiful, Natalie. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. Light of Bhagavatam. Everything. Thank you.
Nice. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat, Mataji. It's very nice class, Mataji. Very nice. I have no questions, Mataji. The way I explain, that's very good, Mataji. And also, Mataji added to comment. Mataji also some comments said, Mataji. They are making more sense to me, Mataji.
Yeah.
Now, the next job is to read it in a peace of mind, then I'll understand more, Mataji.
Yeah.
No questions, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ganapati Prabhu. Okay, I think Vishwan Prabhu just dropped off, not sure why, but we'll probably end the call. Vansha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavaranda ki jai namacharya shrila haridas thakur ki jai shri brahma samhita ki jai all glories to the asam of devotees hare krishna thank you all so much for your beautiful very nice discussion and thanks Mataji for sharing such nice topics thank you
hare
bol
Hari Bol Prabhu.